Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. Having care plans for website maintenance is always considered as a golden way for having monthly recurring revenue. How does one start offering care plans? What all technical, logistic, and mind inputs required to have a successful care plans service? This is episode number 23, Business of Taking Care of Client and Agency Websites with Ed Ellingham. Before we begin, if you are a BeaverBuilder user and want to take your BeaverBuilder knowledge to the next level, check out all new Mastering BeaverBuilder course for all new BeaverBuilder 2.2 version. Just head over to probeaver.com/master. That's probeaver.com/master. And if you've been enjoying this podcast, please do consider leaving a 5-star review over at iTunes. Just head over to smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. That's smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. Now, let's begin the show and dive into the business of care plans for managing client and agency websites with Ed. Hey, Ed, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. So today I'm talking to someone who has a passion that's completely opposite to me. I love building websites and do not like maintaining websites, but you love maintaining websites, but do not love creating websites. Am I correct?
I definitely enjoy design. Mm-hmm. I don't enjoy the pressures that can come with marketing and design sometimes. So I actually prefer the technical aspects of the business.
Okay, fair enough. So before we move forward, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
So we run an agency, Cloud9 Communications, and then we also run CloudCare WP, which is a maintenance brand. Mm-hmm. That we work with small businesses, but it's really more focused towards white label support for agencies. We started the business in 2014, and we actually started as a technical company working with Wi-Fi and VoIP systems and network management, things like that. And it kind of totally escalated from there and shifted very quickly into what we're doing now, which is, I mean, just within a few months, all we did was web design, which was really funny because that had nothing to do with what I got started into. We had a couple of clients request it in the beginning. I was hungry for ramen. So we took those on and I enjoyed it. And as we started trying to market our services, we found that there was a much greater demand for that than what we were actually starting with. So I didn't want to be one of those people that just, you know, drop in and say they're a web designer. So I went out and learned everything I could about the ins and outs of WordPress and design and how to make a website successful for marketing. And it's just a few years ago, I was just learning how to do this stuff. And now I got so involved with the technical aspects that that's what I've excelled at. And I really know the ins and outs of WordPress. So it's been unexpected, but I really much rather be doing what we're doing now than what we plan on doing.
Okay. Now, like many of us, I understand you also started as one man agency building mm-hmm. websites. Like we all, you know, crave for that one big project to get on our hands and do the testing. And it's like the test playground for every one of us. Now, once that phase was over, now you put more focus on managing websites rather than creating websites. Now, is that a decision out of passion or are there financial things into this decision making?
Of course, recurring revenue is awesome. Mm-hmm. The company I came from was a wireless internet service provider. And my boss, who is definitely a mentor to me and had a lot of influence on how I do things, he loved that idea. And he just, it got him excited of the fact that he only had to get a client once and then got money from them all the time. So we got into the care plans before I even heard of people offering care plans. It's definitely a big thing now, but I got into it because he pushed that recurring revenue on me. So that's the reason we got into it. The reason that I'm focusing more on it is I just simply enjoy problem solving more than creating things in design. So I like trying to find a solution. What I like about it is, unlike marketing, once I complete the task, I know it's done and it's working and it's right. Where marketing is a lot of trial and error and analytics. And yeah. I just like knowing that I did it and it's done and it's working. So that has a lot to do with it, really does.
So now that you focus more on the website care business, so has your agency business that is involved basically in building websites, has it taken a backseat now?
No, it hasn't. A lot of our new clients for our care plan still come from websites we've built.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of it still pays the bills, mm-hmm. essentially.
So, okay.
We still do quite a bit of website projects. And I would say a 99% take rate on care plans on websites we build, which is funny because I see people asking about their interest in care plans and how many people they think they're going to get, 10% of their customers. It's like 100%. And the ones that aren't are the people that end up paying me more a year fixing their website than they would just buying a care plan and letting me take care of it. So it's, yeah, definitely.
And what about the web hosting? I see web hosting thing is included in your care plan. So for a new client, do you migrate website of a new client or who wants to be on your care plan from his existing hosting to your hosting, or you give them the option to stay with their existing hosting and you just manage their updates?
Yeah. So they do not have to take our hosting.
Okay.
I do not give a price difference when they do. And the reason is we find ourselves, we spend more time dealing with somebody else's hosting than it costs me to have my own hosting. So exactly. We've got a client that's just gung-ho stuck on GoDaddy, and I have to go and talk to technical support to figure out what the heck they're doing at that time. That costs me way more than the cost of putting them on decent hosting. And I'm not trying to belittle GoDaddy or anything. It's just an example.
Example, I guess. Okay, so whether client wants a hosting or not, it's the same price care plan for them, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and which web hosting infrastructure do you use for your hosting care plans? Guess what? So, GoDaddy guys would be listening to this.
For the longest time, we had our own VPSs and we were using Plesk and mm-hmm. We're handling it ourselves. And then we still had a network management company that kind of monitored it. We had a few hiccups with them and Cloudways is kind of blowing up right now. So we moved down the Cloudways path and we migrated all of our sites to Cloudways. We are still experimenting with some different platforms to make sure that the only gripe I have with Cloudways is that you can't add additional security really, and they don't tell you what their security is. It's like their own blend of security, and that's not good enough for me. So it's always been a moral struggle for me to make sure I'm providing what I intend to. So we are investigating some, running our own VPSs on like Vaultr and DigitalOcean and trying some different things out. But right now Cloudways is where 99% of our websites are hosted at.
Okay. And while on Cloudways, which specific server service you use, like Vaultr, Google Cloud, which is your preferred method? Because
we use
Cloudways and they would be interesting. Hey, which one should I choose?
Yeah. So we have a mixture of Vaultr and Cloudways, mm-hmm. Vaultr and DigitalOcean on Cloudways.
Uh-huh.
They're kind of not a huge difference between them. I'm preferring Valtor, and it's because they have more data centers. Mm-hmm. We're located near Chicago, so it is convenient to have our local customers host data in a more local data center. So we have a lot of them hosted in Chicago. I feel like Valtor might be a little faster, mm-hmm. but I don't really have any hard figures to back that up.
And never thought of going the premium hosting path like WP Engine Flywheel, or it doesn't fit on the financial, you know, calculations.
So we were with Flywheel for a very long time, and I, you kind of got like people that are, you know, Mac fans and Android guys. And I loved Flywheel. I was definitely in love with their brand. But once we reached a certain point in growth,
breakup time,
very expensive.
Yeah.
It wasn't faster. You know, the speed wasn't what it was supposed to be. And I was paying so much money per month for Flywheel. And I kind of felt at a certain point that I was paying for the brand. Mm-hmm. I wasn't paying for the service. So I'm not belittling them either. I would still love to make that work. But when you have 100 sites, Flywheel gets really expensive. We'd have to crank our rates up to make it work.
Yeah. And the margins go down really bad because.
Yep. The margins change, and does the quality change? And at the end of the day, I don't feel like it does. It's not good enough for the change. If you're a designer and you want hosting, mm-hmm. you don't want to be technical, Flywheel is definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people jumping on Cloudways that kind of fit that mentality. You know, they're designers, they're marketers, they're not technical people. Cloudways takes something that's very technical and makes it simpler, but it's still technical. You still have to understand a certain level of how to handle things in that back end. And I would stick with more of a WP. I would stick with Flywheel. If I wasn't very technical, I'd definitely stick with Flywheel. It is the simplest good WordPress solution.
And WP Engine would be out of the question, right?
WP Engine is just more, I feel, is more technical in the sense of their UI. It's not worse, it's different. I feel like Flywheel made it very simple and appealing to a designer's eyes. I can look at two things that do the same thing, and if one has that designer, that nice, you know, sexy
polished.
Absolutely, the polish, yeah. It makes the difference. And I've worked with a lot of people in the network industry, and I've always had a problem leaning towards a thing that looked better. And you'd get in these arguments with these engineering people that are, you know, mindset with the technical part of it, and there's always that back and forth, you know.
And what about the other mid-level offerings like SiteGround, Liquid Web? Have you tried
them? I've actually investigated a lot of them too. I don't have a lot of opinions on them. I compared Liquid Web to the other solution that I don't want to mention because I said I was having problems with them and I don't want to drag them under the bus or nothing. But I had no difference between the two when I was testing it, like no speed difference. It was very apples to apples. So Liquid Web had great customer support when I was testing them. I mean, like went out of their way, customer support. We ended up choosing Cloudways as the way it went.
Cool. Because there's another one, Kinsta, which is in the line of Flywheel and WP Engine. Have you heard about that?
Who is it?
Kinsta.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I looked at a lot of these, and the pricing models were.
Me too. That's what I'm asking you.
yeah. It's a lot of times in hosting, you're paying for brand, but not always. There's a lot of bad hosts out there, and I don't want to make it sound like that. Mm. Cheap hosting is cheap, but there's a lot of them that they're not giving you as much as it's making it sound like. And when you go with one of these, a lot of times they give you one VPS. And Flywheel's an example, and they could have changed by now, but they give you one VPS, and a good way to tell you're on the same VPS is they give you one IP address. so you're on one VPS, and then you have 50 sites on it, and it's running sluggish. At the end of the day, you're on shared hosting.
Yep.
It's just your shared hosting. So you're sharing 50 sites on one server, it starts to slow down. And one of the things I don't like about not being on the technical side of it and seeing what's happening when you have a service like Flywheel is I have no idea if it's congested, overloading, if the processor is peaking and you don't know. So I like having that visibility. And that's what comes back to Cloudways, where if you want to start troubleshooting where a site is giving you trouble, you got to go into command prompt and you got SSH into, you know, a command line, and you're going to want to run HTOP and figure out which application's doing it. And that's where I go back to where Cloudways is a technical product, even though it's got a very polished UI. It, when things break, you know, it's kind of like when people offer maintenance plans, it's very easy until things break, and then you're kind of freaking out. And that's the gap that we're trying to,
As long as the loin is in the cage, it's fine. But when it comes out, everyone runs.
Right. Absolutely. It's really easy when people are giving you content updates and you're clicking update. But once you click update and the website gives you a 500 error, that's when you see Facebook lighting up with people trying to get it solved for them.
And some of them say, oh man, their support is so bad. But I've been using SiteGround for almost 2-3 years now, and it's been serving well for my own needs. It's just for my own websites, because the websites I manage for clients, they use their own hosting. I don't bring them on because that's not my main focus. So web hosting can be tricky. Everyone has their own preferences. Again, depends on your technical know-how. If you're technical, Cloudways, even there's another service called Run Cloud, which is kind of a similar to Cloudways. It's more technical and geeky.
I looked at that too.
Yeah, and I think they are upping their offering and probably get on with the same level with Cloudways in terms of WordPress offering, because they are more enterprise as of now. And there are a lot of options, depends. So web hosting, we've checked. Now, once you have websites on your web hosting and you're managing multiple websites, which website management stuff do you use? Like, you use main WP, managed WP, or you got your something own custom stuff?
So we've tested pretty much everything, I think.
Not surprised.
we used managed WP for many years. And during Black Friday, there was a deal on Infinite WP. So we decided to test that out, take advantage of the Black Friday deal and try it out. Jess, who handles the updates, so basically she handles all the minor updates, and then she goes through the website, make sure that everything works okay, and then goes on to the next website. And then if something breaks, you know, she tags me in, and then I fix the issue. She, by using Infinite WP, she said that her workflow of updating the websites, because we don't just click update and have it update 200 websites and go, well, I hope that worked. So you do it pretty much one at a time. She's got it from about, you know, 3 days of nonstop website updates to like half a day.
And so correct me if I'm wrong. Infinite WP is a off-hosted solution, like managed WP, or self-hosted like main WP?
It's like main WP. Uh-huh. It doesn't run on WordPress like main WP does, though. It's its own application.
Okay. So you install it on your own server, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah. Again, it's a little more technical. If you're not a technical person, managed WP is the right tool. We were looking at main WP, but I had a conversation with, I don't think I'm going to throw his name out in case he does, but he was like an avid main WP user, and him and I had a video chat about it, and he switched to manage because of the care reports, and care reports are important to us. So I couldn't have them fail. So we kind of, and the main WP UI is really overwhelming. Like, everything's there, but it's just, it's too much. it's just a little bit, it's not hard or difficult, it's workflow. And for us, it was going to slow down our workflow with the way it was just laid out. You had to go to too many things to do every task. And that's one of the things about Infinite WP that we're really liking, is that they've kind of laid it out where everything is right there for each site in front of you and very easy to use. And Managed WP was getting higher price for us, and that's why we started considering a self-hosted solution.
Did main WP bring in more cost saving as well if you compare it with managed WP? I guess it did, right?
Managed WP is definitely the most expensive, but It is hosted on their data center. Yeah. They take care of that part of it. It is very well designed, very clean. It just works out of the box solution. Infinite WP is probably the most difficult to get going and running. It, for us, it has been an improvement in workflow. It does things faster and it integrates with a lot of plugins we use like Rocket WP Rocket. We've been playing around with iTheme security, even though that's got hit or miss opinions in the community. We're liking the fact that it integrates with that, which is why we're playing around with that, because it can pull additional security reporting into the care reports,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of these services are very basic when it comes to that stuff. You know, a lot of them rely on security, site check, and you just get these basic reports out of it. So it is nice to have that additional reporting in there.
And which additional storage services that you use to store your website backups, like Amazon AWS or something like that?
So we tried Amazon S3 and okay. It like gave me an ulcer. And the reason is the pricing. It's like, I just was never sure what we were going to get charged.
Yeah.
And we found Wasabi, which is an S3 compatible storage. It's very much like Amazon, the way they run things, but it's flat rate pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay $5 for a terabyte and it is super fast. Like I never seen anything so fast for any of these storage solutions. So we are like in love with Wasabi because like $10 gives you 2 terabytes. It's just ridiculously inexpensive. We also use Dropbox because I don't like relying on anything. So Wasabi could go belly up tomorrow for all I know. I don't know what's going on with their business. So we're big on always having it. I mean, Dropbox could go tomorrow. Google could get hacked tomorrow. I mean, anything could happen. And I've heard a horror story of a guy that his house got like hit by a tornado and his data center caught fire like within the same day. And he literally lost everything because those were his two sources of backups. So we back up on Cloudways, we back up on Dropbox, and we back up on Wasabi.
And any local backups as well on your hard drives?
No. Okay. I don't like local. it's
How many people are there in your like team? Like, do you do things by yourself or you've got a big team?
So for the maintenance is just Jessica and myself.
Okay.
We're looking to bring in somebody else that would be offset hours just so we can extend our hourly per day.
Mm-hmm.
And for our web design, we have been outsourcing some of that so that we can, we've got a client and I'm sure that he'll end up listening to this and he knows who he is that keeps us pretty busy with maintenance. So, that's one of the reasons why we started outsourcing, but it's like so much easier to just manage the project and have somebody else do the work. And I can focus on running a business because eventually I'm sure a lot of the solopreneurs that are doing this realize that they end up just becoming an employee for their business. They don't have time to run their business. They're just, it's like you gave up a boss to have 100 bosses is what it ends up being.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to outsource things and have other people in there. And the nice thing about outsourcing is that I don't have to be responsible for paying somebody else's mortgage and healthcare. And I don't have to worry about, we didn't get work in this month and I don't know what to have you do. And, you know, so not that that's really happens, but it's there and it's, you know.
Let's talk about the onboarding check that you perform. Like, do you perform any onboarding analysis, like check for heavy plugins like WooCommerce, LMS, or just to get the sense of, you know, plugins jungle for the websites you are trying to get on to your hosting care plans?
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't necessarily deny anything.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely look for it to be aware of it. And we can't go and tell people they have to redesign their website or pay us a bunch of money to do it. If it's really slow, sluggish, insecure is an absolute. If we do our first check and we find vulnerable plugins, that's not an option. Your security is at risk. Your clients, your visitors are at risk. So that's a no-no. But if it's slow, that's up to you. We can guide you to an alternative depending on what's involved with it. You just got to make that decision. But absolutely, we do speed tests and security checks and lots of overview, because at the end of the day, anything we leave out is just going to be a headache later.
Yeah.
So you do have to be on top of that.
And what about traffic figures? So a website with 5K monthly visits vis-a-vis a website with 3 times more traffic, do they get entry on a same care plan?
Yes. It's never really been an issue. And the only exception to that, and we haven't run into it yet, but we've already prepared for it, is if you do reach a certain number of traffic, then that won't change what we do for you, but it will change your hosting. So we may throw you on an isolated VPS to handle the traffic that you're bringing in. In that case, you'd have to incur additional costs for the traffic that, for having your own server, essentially. So we can't share you with a dozen sites because you're tearing them down with your traffic.
And you got different rules for WooCommerce sites or LMS sites?
It's not that we have different rules. The only, if you're doing e-commerce sales, we do suggest that you want a higher tier package, because we're going to want to do things like, and we haven't pushed it. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people that have WooCommerce sites, and we just take care of, you know, where we do, like, instead of doing daily backups, we'll do every 12 hours. And that's just so if something did happen, there's less orders that could potentially be lost in that process. So we just do additional steps. It's hard for somebody like me to not provide you the service that I feel you need. Mm-hmm. So it's almost hard to put packages. We do it, but to be honest with you, if something breaks, we're going to fix it. If something's doing something wonky, we're going to fix it. I'm not just going to leave you hanging. So we appreciate people taking the higher packages. Most of the time when people take the higher packages, it's to get additional time. Like, they want to have an hour or two of development time that they can lean on when they need to, things like that. So,
okay. Majority of agencies have, you know, care plans somewhere hidden in their offering, but most of them are not able to scale up that part of the business. So, is the diversion of energy between building websites and taking care of websites behind this? Like, you've done the both and you're still doing both.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the reasons that cloud care started forming, we did care plans, of course, but we didn't do them for other agencies. And it's because we were realizing that we were spending so much time doing these small tasks that we would have thousands of dollars in projects sitting there collecting dust while we're trying to manage our care clients. And that's why we wanted to scale back from that, focus more on this. And we knew that there's other web design agencies out there that are not meeting their deadlines because they're dealing with customer service, and they want to be web designers. They don't want to be IT specialists, you know, and handle the technical aspect of things. So that's really been our push. Is that we take that burden from you, because it really is, you know, you've got, you know, a $6,000 project that you can't work on. Those people that are willing to give you $6,000 are calling you and saying, where's my stuff? And you're dealing with people that need a font change and a color change, and the website went down and you're not familiar with how to solve the error. And so you're on Facebook spending 3 hours chatting with people trying to solve a problem, and it could just be solved.
And now a very classic question: how do I get new clients? So how do you get new clients for your care plan business?
So we stay active on Facebook and help people solve problems, which isn't a marketing ploy. We just do that.
Yeah.
That is just a way of getting brand recognition. They already are comfortable with working with us because we're helping them solve problems. So Facebook has been a way to scale cloud care on its own. Mm-hmm. As far as web design clients, that is still our continuous growth into our care plans. Is every care plan or every proposal we put out has the care plan already built into it.
Okay.
I think a lot of people see it as an add-on. It's not an add-on. Your website has to be taken care of. Your website, if it's offline, people think the business is gone. People are constantly searching the web and finding these and if there's malware infected, if there's, I mean, there's all these potential revenue losses for the website owner, not the developer, and they need to be aware of this. So it's an easy sell, and we have no problem with it. So most of our care plan clients come from web design clients, and I tell people it's going to save you a lot more money to do your job than what it's going to cost to try and learn how to do mine.
Yeah. And do you do any paid marketing as well to get new people in your ecosystem?
Not really.
Okay.
We could, mm-hmm. but we're still juggling both. Mm-hmm. So if we were to invest in just focusing on getting new care plans with paid marketing efforts and what have you, we would roll over ourselves on the websites that we're still doing. So it has to be a slower transition than that, and not deterring anybody from reaching out. Mm-hmm. It's just, we couldn't have an overnight change where all of a sudden we're onboarding tons of people. All of a sudden we have all these projects sitting in the pipe. So we have to slowly taper it off to actually, because we're very busy.
I know you offer like white label care plans for other agencies. Now, what is the percentage of your care business dedicated just for other agencies?
It's not a high percentage. Okay. Of cloud care itself, cloud care is its own brand. It is like 90% of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had so many websites. There is a kind of a caveat to that. We have some clients that have multi-site sites with us that one multi-site has like 150 websites on it. So in that sense, it's like 90% of our business is white label support if you look at it that way. But if you look at individual sites, most of them are web design clients that we've accumulated over the years. Mm-hmm. And then cloud care as its own is mostly white label.
And how much white label is the communication with the clients of your other agencies? Like how you deal with the white label part when communicating?
So we have a ticket system in place that mm-hmm. allows us to give every client their own portal for support mm-hmm. and their own email address for support. So they set up their own email, it forwards to us, and then it goes into the correct department in our ticket system. And then our signatures are all custom to their brand. So we reply as them, handle tickets as them. Their clients never know the difference. It's very transparent. I guess it wouldn't be transparent. It's the clients just are never aware of what's happening, that they're talking with somebody else.
100% white label. Okay, so
it's 100% white label.
Which ticket platform you use, Help Scout or something else?
We use one called Vision Help Desk.
Okay.
And it's because it is very focused on multi-brand. So that's really the reason we use it. I don't want to really give it a shout out. We've had some issues with it, but it works very well for multi-brand support and white labeling. It is the best we've found so far.
Okay, so someone listening to this episode and want to, get in with the care plans offering, what are your biggest challenges so far in setting up your website care plan business as a separate entity?
As a separate entity is probably branding, because you're really starting all over again with the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent several years building our agency brand, and when you come in with a new brand, nobody knows who you are, and doing just keeping up with the community has been good for that. But the most difficult part, it's not as difficult as when you first start, because you already have so many wheels in motion. You already have your accounting set up and you already have all these things in place. So it's really not that difficult in that sense. And most of the things we needed to do it were already in place. So we don't just use, let's say, Managed WP or Infinite WP. We use WP Boom, which I'd happily give a shout out to, which is it's a platform that allows you to take a snapshot of a website before you do updates, take a snapshot of the website after you do updates, and it reviews the difference between the two. So we can compare if something broke after an update visually. We use StatusCake to do SSL monitoring, domain monitoring, performance monitoring, uptime monitoring. We have so many pieces of the puzzle. We use Change Tower, where we have some websites that they're having, let's say, a caching issue, and they're visually breaking every so often, and we're trying to troubleshoot it. Well, we use a Change Tower, which will visually monitor a website for an out. We have so much money invested in the tools that we use to do this in the way that we feel is correct, that we couldn't have afforded to just make it happen overnight. These were tools that have built up over the years that we've kept adding and growing and growing into. And now with CloudCare, we have all this in place ready to rock. So it makes it easier because we're able to grow into it, opposed to just deciding we're going to do this. And now we do care plans.
And what all things have you changed recently that has improved your overall service delivery, besides, of course, switching to Infinite WP and Cloudways?
Those are the two. we are switching to Dubsado, and we're finding that compared to FreshBooks, Dubsado is very easy to manage a project with financials. That's kind of the thing that you see is missing from project management solutions and task management, stuff like that, is it's all in one system. So that has been really great. But Infinite and Cloudways are the biggest thing. And SendGrid, I'd like to throw SendGrid in there. So a lot of people don't think about email deliverability with transactional emails. Yeah. I don't think it's something that's really on the radar too much until it fails. So every website, every care website, every website we launch, we connect with SendGrid and totally bypass going through their web hosting.
Okay.
So big fan of SendGrid.
And how do you handle client pushback, like emergency situation? My website is broken. You got to fix it now. And now means now.
I wish I could say that we just don't take care of it now. But if I'm awake, mm-hmm. if it's a waking hour mm-hmm. and we get an email that something went down, mm-hmm. we're just going to drop what we're doing and try and resolve it.
Okay.
So we have official support hours, mm-hmm. but when something is an emergency and we feel it's an emergency, there's a difference between I want this color changed now or I want this font changed now. Yeah, we'll change it now when it's in support time. That's not an urgent request. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if your website is down, hacked, things are broken, as soon as we are aware of the ticket, we're just going to take care of it.
And have you had unpleasant experience so far managing so many clients?
No, the amount of clients has not been an issue. You will always have a client that forgets that you have other clients. So that's customer service. You'll always get people that just think that they're the only people in the world. And sometimes you get people that their expectations are beyond what they're paying for.
Yeah.
And it's like where you build a website and they refuse to invest in SEO, for example. Mm-hmm. And then they open a ticket saying that they're not getting many leads. And well, you launched a brand new website and you need traffic to convert to leads, and you need a website that creates leads to convert the traffic. So, you know, I definitely see people that are like, I spent all this money on SEO and I'm not getting any leads. Well, your website's not designed for it. But if you design a website for lead generation and you refuse to go through the efforts to get traffic, you can only do so much. So we've definitely had people that they think if you build it, they will come. And it's not Field of Dreams. It's web design and you have to do multiple things to have a successful website. Traffic, conversion, and nurture are the key ingredients to having a successful marketing plan with a website.
Okay, now, regular client communication is very important. Now, how often do you communicate with your clients on care plans besides, of course, sending them those automated monthly reports?
So we used to do what we called care calls. Mm-hmm. And every Wednesday, Jess would call every client. Of course, white label wouldn't fit in this one. She would call every client and be like, hey, we just want to see if there's anything new, any promotions, anything you want to add to the website, do all these things. And we did it for a year. And the consensus of it is we felt like we were annoying people. So we decided to no longer do that. And it wasn't the effort on our end by no means. We were happy to do it. And we have people that they just don't remember that they have a website.
Yeah.
They pay the fee every month. They run promotions. They never tell you to update anything. It's so that's why we did that. We thought that if we were reaching out to people, they could go, oh yeah, we're doing this thing. We need to promote it. We're just bugging people. So care reports is really the most communication we have. We don't do a lot of like newsletters or things like that. And that isn't by choice. That is a time constraint, which is why that doesn't get handled.
Yeah, but I was surprised about your actually calling clients, but a lot of people do emails. They will write personalized email to at least once a month to clients and see, hey, what's happening? Because email is less intrusive as compared sure. to calling. So maybe emailing works.
It's definitely something to dig into and consider. And we don't want to have customers. We want to have relationships and partners. So
yeah,
we definitely do want to make sure we have a good communication with people. So I agree. And that is something actually for us to probably consider, really.
Because my next question is kind of related to this question. Like once you have that relationship set up and established and it's been, you know, this regular checking, hey, hello, how are you? What all, you know, upsell opportunities, like you can explore a lot of upsell opportunities with your existing clients if you have that active relationship going on. So have you ever done that? Like there have been like good upsell opportunities in this business?
So we've done upsells with people, of course. Mm-hmm. We feel that our expertise lies in the maintenance. Mm-hmm. That's where we excel at. Mm-hmm. And we don't take advantage of a lot of upsell opportunities because we want to focus on the maintenance. So every time we upsell somebody to, I mean, we've done, you know, Facebook ads and Google ads and SEO and things like that, that takes away from the time of the maintenance, which is what we want to put our efforts into. So I understand when people have a plethora of services that they want to offer and they can take one client and make that client provide them more revenue. That's definitely a viable solution. For us, we want to, instead of taking the one client and upselling them and expand the revenue from the one client, we want to just expand our list of clients that focus on the one service, which is the care plans. So we do not really take advantage a lot with, the only upsell that we push is yearly.
Okay.
It's paying yearly instead of monthly. And it's kind of a downsell because we technically get less at the end of the year. However, the benefit of it is we don't make people sign contracts. And the reason is I've always felt that if I provide you, we'd have them sign website contracts, but maintenance, we don't have them sign annual agreements is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So the reason we don't have them sign an annual agreement is I feel if you're happy with a service, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to leave it. You're just going to stay with it. If your only reason you're with us is for cost and you find somebody that's cheaper, that's not the relationship we're trying to build. We're not trying to be the cheapest guys around. We're trying to be the best. So what, I lost my train of thought.
You only want clients that stick with you for your expense, not price, or yearly payment.
But my point is if they pay annual, uh-huh. You have them for a year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like giving, it's kind of like getting them in an annual agreement without, so you have a commitment now. You're getting a year commitment. So that commitment is nice. You do know that you have that client for a year, and that's pretty much the only upsell we push.
And like you have multiple, you know, care plans, like I guess you have two or three plans. So,
yeah.
So a lot of like majority of clients, do they enter on the first plan, second plan, third plan? What's the trend or what's the pattern agency, that you've noticed?
Yeah. Agency clients really like the first plan.
Okay.
And I get that because the real big difference between the first two plans is content updates. So content updates are typically easy for a web design agency to just handle. Mm-hmm. It's when things fail, break, doing updates, doing the mind-numbing task of making sure a website is working properly after an update, things like that. That's what's really taking away from their time to be investing in projects. So most agencies actually take our basic package, which is we handle support. We take care of the website if it goes down. We monitor it if it's hacked. We do the updates to make sure it's maintained. We handle the hosting, you know. So we handle all that stuff. And then if a client has an inquiry of, you know, I want to update this, change this picture, things like that, they'll just handle that part of it. Our highest end package is probably most suitable for WooCommerce e-commerce stores. E-commerce stores have an obligation when they're taking payments to make sure that their website is safe and secure. And a big part of that is it's not difficult to trick somebody into putting a credit card number into something that is not their site. So it's very important for e-commerce, especially, to make sure their website is taken care of. So we provide additional security services, like, you know, more than, you know, every 12 hours we do backups and additional monitoring and things like that.
And talking about pricing, you know, as with a lot of other fields in the online world, managing website care plans, there are a lot of low priced players as well in this field. So how did you arrive at the price point of your plans, which are now, and how do you handle the price increases and the communication henceforth?
So as much as I hate to say this, our original pricing, so we took the WP Elevation course, and okay. Anybody that's familiar with that, I mean, it's a great course, and they really push care plans.
Mm-hmm.
We were offering care plans before we heard of WP Elevation. And that goes back to my background of a monthly service business that we had. So, I pulled that price out of thin air when I first started, then we got into WP Elevation and there was this whole care plan like world and all these people doing it. And we started seeing that this is a whole thing. It turned out that my guesstimate price was pretty accurate. It was pretty consistent with what everybody was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So our pricing has barely gone up since then. We were at, I think, $69 a month for our regular clients. Now that's what we're charging agencies for wholesale. Mm-hmm. And that is through a lot of competition review. So we're not lower really than the competitors. We're about even with them, except for those guys that are like $20 a month and we take care of everything. And it's like, trust me, for that price, you can't take care of it for what I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm spending more than that to take care of that. So we have a certain level of support that we want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And we try and be in an affordable range, because what's really important with the agency white label part of it is we need to make sure that you have enough margin to sell it, you know? So we feel that that's there, you know, even though it's not a huge difference between what we're selling to, you know, everyday people, your relationship with your customer provides margin. So somebody's not going to leave me to go to somebody they don't know to pay a little bit less. When you're running a plumbing business or whatever type of business, you need to focus on your service And you need to rely on the person that's taking care of your website and your digital marketing and what have you. So that is worth more than the cheapest price. So when you take our service and you can add your margin, mm-hmm. your margin you're adding has a lot to do with rapport. So you don't have to make $5 a month. You don't have to be cheaper than your competitors. You're trusted. That's such a significant value to your client. So you can add more, you can pad that and make 100% on top of what you're paying for white label support and from a company like ours.
And do you do yearly price revisions as well? Or it's been kind of plateaued?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
We do some customization pricing for some unique clients,
mm-hmm.
Where we provide an exorbitant amount of support. So that does happen where it's unique situations and things have to be priced accordingly.
Okay. Now let's talk about your toolbox. So which are your current five favorite tools that power your online business? I see you have a list.
I'm going to definitely say Beaver Builder is going to be at the top of that list.
Oh, I love that. Starting is good.
I big fan of Beaver Builder. I'm going to say Infinite WP now has mm-hmm. been kind of a game changer for us.
Mm-hmm.
A really great, I want to kind of give this more of a shout out than want to say it's like it's such an important factor to our business, but all in one WP migration.
Yeah, I love this plugin.
Such a great tool.
Yep.
To have in your toolbox.
It never failed for me.
When everything else fails, it works.
Yeah.
And it has failed for me where I have to just manually do everything because you got a 20 gig site on GoDaddy and GoDaddy servers are just crying while you're trying to migrate it. So, I mean, that does happen and, you know, it doesn't work. Nothing works. But on the backups, we started using Updraft. And mm-hmm. the reason I like Updraft is for one, it does incremental backups now, mm-hmm. which is if you're paying for storage for backups on 200 websites, you'll understand why incremental backups can be so important.
Yeah.
But the other thing, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of this, they have a self-hosted tool called Updraft Central.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to view all of your backup sites, kind of like you would like an Infinite WP or main or manage. It allows you to just view all of them. And one of the key reasons that we're using it is it supports S3 compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of tools support Amazon S3, but they automatically use the Amazon servers. This will allow you to enter your own server, which is Wasabi. So it allows us to use Wasabi. So that's how we got involved with it. It's a little bloated, but it works very well. Incremental backups pay for itself. And the fact that it works with Wasabi, it's just those are the key factors there. And then that Updraft Central is just really great that you can just go to that anytime and see all your backups in one shot. So I think we're at like four now. I'm going to say, and get off the topic of just WordPress plugins, I'm going to say Dubsado is a great tool to have in your arsenal. And there's lots of tools like it.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would say about Dubsado is that it does a lot of things, doesn't really do one thing awesome, but it does everything you need. So
mm-hmm.
If you're willing to feel like, you know, certain things that you like to use might lack in a couple of features, but you have it all combined into one platform, and they're constantly improving. So I think what they did as a business was decided to put their net really wide and cover as many tools as possible
mm-hmm.
and then just make the tools better as they grow instead of adding more tools or just improving their existing tools. So
Okay, my next question, we've already discussed in detail, but I'll still ask you again, which is your recommended web hosting service? I guess the answer is Cloudways as of now, 2019, February.
I'm going to say if you are comfortable with technical things, Cloudways is definitely the way to go. And I know there's people that might disagree with that, but I think as soon as you run into an issue, you might start feeling a little uncomfortable out of your comfort zone. There's a lot of things going on there. If you are just a designer that wants to build websites and don't want to deal with technical stuff, I think going with something like Flywheel is a better choice. And anything that runs cPanel just gives me a migraine. I hate cPanel. And it has nothing to do with the hosting. I think it's just, for some reason, the world's ugliest control panel became the most popular. And I don't get it, but I just hate dealing with cPanel. I think I'd rather be in a command line than deal with cPanel. It's just personal preference. That's all it is. It doesn't fail. It's not insecure. It's just preference. I hate cPanel.
And which is your recommended email marketing service?
I love MailerLite.
Okay.
It's not as popular as MailChimp. Mm-hmm. To me, it feels like it has the ease of MailChimp. If MailChimp would stop minimalizing the design of their dashboard, which I can't even navigate anymore. but MailerLite, to me, is kind of like MailChimp and ActiveCampaign shoved into one.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely limited where you can't export an HTML file, shove it in MailerLite and run it off. And if you can, I'm not aware of it. So, you know, don't hold me to that. MailerLite and their automation is just awesome. I'm big fan of MailerLite.
And any upcoming tool or service that has caught your eye attention?
That's a good question that I don't recall seeing. You know, one thing that I think is worth keeping an eye on, and this contradicts Dubsado, is Plutio. So
I got Plutio, it. I bought the lifetime deal, but I'm yet to.
So did I.
Test it, what it does.
Right. Plutio and Dubsado are really, they're doing the things opposite, like I just kind of mentioned, where I feel like Dubsado is like, we're going to have all these tools, and then we're just going to make the tools better. And Plutio was instead, they're both, I think, in the end going to offer the same stuff. But Plutio is like, we're going to do this and we're going to make it really well. And then we're going to add this and we're going to make that really well. So everything they have has a really great UI. It's feature rich, but it lacks some of the essential things that I want, which is why I chose Dubsado. Even though I have a lifetime on Plutio, I've got a feeling that Plutio is eventually going to have everything that Dubsado has. Mm-hmm. It's just not there yet. And FreshBooks is what we're moving away from. And I do not suggest that to anybody.
There's another one that is popular or getting popular. It's ClickUp. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it as a project management. It looks like a really great project management tool. I don't know if it supports all the financial stuff. And I just don't know. I'm not saying it doesn't. If it does, I mean, that may be something for us to take a look at too.
Plus the old horses, Basecamp, Asana, and Teamwork.
When we first started, we tried Teamwork because WP Elevation suggested it. And it's really neat. It just seemed like overkill for us at the time.
It's overwhelming. Like 3-4 years back, or maybe 3 years back, the agency I used to work, they used to use Basecamp, which is very simple tool. Like it is like very simple UI. You can compare it with MailChimp, but I went from Basecamp to Teamwork and it was like a big shocker. It's just like going from MailChimp to ConvertKit. You're thrown so many options and trying to figure out where you're going now.
I've got so many pieces of software open all the time, all these SaaS systems. That's why I started looking into like what does a lot of things, you know, even though I feel like Plutio does project management better than Dubsado. Dubsado just handles all of the things that I needed to do. And that is what won. I am going to mention another tool that I forgot about that I started using. It's called Wavebox.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, it's a glorified browser, but it's neat because it has, you can have all your main SaaS products sitting in there with icons on the side, makes them inactive after 5 minutes automatically. You click it and it's just, it's an organ, it's a way to keep all of your web tools organized.
Mm-hmm.
The equivalent of it that's really popular is called Shift, but we love Mixmax, and Shift doesn't have proper integration into Gmail with Mixmax.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we end up going this. This is worth checking out.
Okay. So before we wrap this episode up, any last message for someone who's listening and wanting to get started offering the service of Care Plans?
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure that you understand the technical in and outs of WordPress before you start supporting it on a level where you provide, you know, where you're responsible for keeping their website up. And that's really the key thing. So a lot of these tools will make it sound like you click update all and you got 200 sites done and that's all great, but it doesn't work that way. You need to take your time. Do not touch that update all button because it could be 2 hours before you review the website that you took down 2 hours ago. So make sure you understand that it's nothing's worse than somebody paying you to keep their website running and you not having the ability to do that. So just make sure you understand the technical part of it. Make sure you understand how to navigate a 500 error. it's what it is. You'd understand how to look at those logs, and I can typically figure out what plugin or theme or what's breaking a website within just a couple of minutes by looking through the log. And I think people just bang their head for 6 hours because they don't know where to look, and just learn that stuff. Learn how to identify those problems.
And where can people find you?
Cloudcarewp.com is the website, or you can feel free to send me an email, ed@gocloud9.net.
Cool. Ed, it was amazing talking to you. I'm sure even you enjoyed it.
Even me. I'm a rambler, so I apologize.
No, but we did, focus on a lot of good things. I'm sure even certain tools that you mentioned were kind of discovery for me. I'm going to check them out after the episode and see, because this happens a lot with me also. Like, oh, this tool got mentioned, so I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, so, sure. No, totally.
Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.